Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kowski every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Another year goes by, more beers, more smoke.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Also, please like us on Facebook and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kautsky. Today, we are joined by our friend Rocky Vest, and the topic for today's show is C.S. Lewis's classic, Mere Christianity. Father Zach, would you please open us up in a word of prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, the gift to meditate on your truth. We thank you for our guest, Rocky, who will join us for the show. We ask you to bless all of our listeners and keep them safe and secure in the knowledge of your love. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, Father, you and I in a men's group this year in our small group, this is one of our books we read. It was about 3 or 4 months ago.
Mere Christianity.
Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And we both said it'd be a great idea to have a full show devoted to this. Quite frankly, I think we could have like 9 shows devoted to this, but instead we're gonna go with 2. And I had the idea. I know a friend of ours who's been on the show before, Rocky Vest. This is a book that's meant a lot to him over the years as well. So Rocky will join us on the next segment for this show and the next show to dive into this book. And really, I have one goal for these next 2 shows, and that is to get our listeners to read the book. If they've already read it once, to read it again. I believe that, I kind of think about this last night, if I was on a desert island and I could have 3 books, it would be the Bible, Mere Christianity,
and then
a hardcover copy, some novel or something, yeah. But those would be the 2 books for sure, because those are the 2 books that brought more people to Christ than anyone else. And when was your first experience, Father?
My first experience with C.S. Lewis generally, was in seminary. I had read, as a child, I was familiar with
Narnia, of course.
And we studied that in school. But Mere Christianity was a little later, and I'd say seminary, but also then after seminary, when I started going to the Theology of the Body Institute in outside of Philadelphia, we would take passages from Mere Christianity, especially when he talks about, human desire and our desire for more than that. That kind of that ache we feel, and we'll talk more about that specifically later. But kind of to describe the human condition, that longing for more, that longing for God. So I think that's certainly been that theme of desire, that theme of kind of our human ache for God. I think that's been huge.
But also, when reading the Bible, we talk so much about location, 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 and context. Well, similarly with this book, it's important to understand the context. Written in the 1940s. He had experienced, he was in World War One. He and Tolkien were both in World War One. I've heard rumors in the same battles, which is crazy. Yeah. And then fast forward to 1940s, Britain, it's not going well. The war, the first 3 years were not, it's easy to look back in hindsight, but at the time was not good. Morale was poor. So they actually, and Rocky can probably tell us more about this in the next segment, but these were radio addresses that they brought him on the BBC for the military and for the people, the civilians, to help boost spirits. And so the whole thing was recorded in 15 to 20 minute talks over the course of how long it was, but we'll get to that in the next segment. But these were talks given on the radio, so the book itself is very accessible, and the fact that they're short chapters, they're very easy to take and chew on. But again, this was originally a broadcast on the BBC. And secondly, I'm sure we'll talk about this next time, you can tell he was an ardent atheist prior to this, prior to his conversion, because the way he thinks through things, you can just see he's clearly spent so much time thinking about it. So this is a guy who was an ardent atheist against the church and his conversion to belief.
Yeah.
And so the book itself is put together so well, and again, I will say this over and over the next 2 episodes, our goal is to have you read the book and love it as much as we do. A few quick housekeeping items before we get to the next segment with Rocky. The mark your calendars for the Faith for the Journey Men's Conference, which is on Saturday, March 10th, here at St. Francis of Assisi Church at 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Dr. Alan Hunt, Bo Bonner, and Trent Horn are the three speakers. You will not want to miss this. We'll talk more about it in future shows, but mark your calendar for Saturday, March 10th.
And on Thursday, February 8th of this year, there is a ladies' mosaic luncheon, which is a free lunch and a presentation, and it's going to be at St. Mary of Nazareth Church on Meredith Drive in Des Moines. And what that is the guest is Cindy Shaw, who is a spiritual director at the Emmaus House here in Des Moines, and she's going to be talking a little bit about the spirituality of St. Ignatius of Loyola and spiritual direction. And the theme for Cindy's presentation for the ladies' luncheon is "Were Our Hearts Not Burning?" And so she's going to talk about the account of the two travelers in the Gospel of Luke, encountering Christ, the road to Emmaus. So,
two great events. Go to the Iowa Catholic Radio website for more information on those and to sign up. And we're going to head to a short break. And when we return, Rocky Vest will be with us. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Thank you, construction professionals, for underwriting our show, Man Up. Construction professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my weakness, my sickness.
Welcome back to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. I am Joe Stopios, along with Father Zakowski, and today we're joined by Rocky Vest.
Rocky grew up in Mississippi and went to seminary at Truett at Baylor University. He's a husband and father to four children here in Des Moines. We've had him on previously to discuss his 200-mile bike ride to help stop sex trafficking. And today he joins us to dive into one of his favorite books of all time, Mere Christianity. Rocky, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Welcome back, baby. You're one of our most recent guests, or one of our most frequently appearing
friend
guests.
Of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show.
All two times.
It's third. Yeah. Third. Third. This is your third time. The first time you were on, we talked about the common bonds of our religions. Mm-hmm. Second time was on the sex show.
Indeed.
So here's your third
indeed.
Time.
And are you riding your bike in the winter weather?
I do not. I know plenty of people who do that. So do not follow my example in this case.
So, Rocky, you and I have smoked many a cigar discussing the tenets of mere Christianity. Why is this book so important to you?
You know, that's a great question. So when I was a Christian studies and philosophy major, this was back in college, I had kind of a crisis of faith moment. And so here I was, kind of a precursor to seminary, if you will, studying to become a, quote, professional Christian, right? I'm supposed to know my stuff. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I've always just assumed the assertions that I learned about Christianity, but what makes this more true than any other religion in the world? So then as I was reading Mere Christianity, as C.S. Lewis walked us through his the idea of the law of human nature, even he's totally open about objections and things of that nature. I thought, wow, this guy is really just open and honest about this conversation. He's not threatened at all about what he believes and the way that he got there. But then there came this moment to where grace became very much alive to me and the difference maker between Christianity and all other faiths. Meaning that he plainly states there's religion by which man saves man, or there's religion by which God saves man. And I knew my own estate, and I said, well, any religion that requires me to save myself, I'm sunk. So based on that thought, my whole world was turned around, and then the beauty of Christianity came out all the more so. So it wasn't just now information, but there was this significant kind of mind awakening that happened as a result of reading Lewis. And the Bible, of course.
one of the things you're going to hear a lot over the next two episodes is a lot of quotes. So we picked out a lot of quotes to talk about. And there are so many great – and he has a lot of great metaphors and analogies throughout the book. And speaking to that one, God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. It's not like teaching a horse to jump better and better, but like turning a horse into a winged creature. So there's a lot of great analogies like that onto the Christian life. To give you guys a bit of a background on this, an overview per se, the book does, and this is one of the cool things about the book, is it's one of the only things I can think of where beginning people who aren't even Christian, people who are nominal Christians, and people who are devout Christians can all read this book and get a lot out of it. So you think of a manual for, you know, if someone's going to a swimming class, there's a beginner's class, a medium class, and an expert class. Well, this book fits everyone, and everyone can read it any time. And the way, just to give you an outline of the book, he really starts with a preface, which I'll talk about in a sec, and then he goes into kind of a why even believe in any God. Why do we believe in any God at all? After he makes his kind of truth on why he believes that there's a God out there. The second thing is, okay, why the God of Christianity? What proof do we have or belief in a God in Christianity? And then the third part of that's really, if that's the case, if this is true, what does the Christian life look like, and what does it mean to be Christian? So he starts really
kind of broad,
really broad,
30,000 foot,
and mm-hmm. then just kind of funnels you in. Mm-hmm. It's such an effective means of doing it because is. By the end of it, you are. I am totally convinced of everything he's saying, and I'm on board. And I think that's why it's such a great starting point for so many people to jumpstart mm-hmm. their Christian
and
life.
I think that was his goal, mm-hmm. right? To make theology accessible to mm-hmm. to. Speak about it in a way that it was accessible to the masses. So mm-hmm. I think he is a great early example of that, of making theology accessible.
So the preface he gives, and this is exactly where it's important to read the preface. I'm just going to quote directly from it because I think it does a great job. And also, this is why it's a good thing Rocky, I think, is in the show. As a non-Catholic, Rocky comes here as part of our Christian brothers, and that's what the whole point of the book is. Mm-hmm. So he says, I quote, "I hope no reader will suppose that mere, quote-unquote, Christianity here is put forward as an alternative to the creeds of the existing communions, as if man could adopt it as a preference to Congregationalism or Greek Orthodoxy or anything else. It is more like a hall out of which doors open into several rooms. If I can bring anyone into that hall, I have done what I have attempted. But it is in the rooms and not the hall that there are fires and chairs and meals. It is the hall. The hall is a place to wait in, a place from which to try the various doors, a place not to live in. For that purpose, the worst of the rooms, whichever the room may be, I think is preferable." So he talks about this idea of a hall, and then once you get in, there are rooms, and obviously there's the Catholic room, there's the Protestant room, whatever it is. The whole goal of this, and that's why this book will not get into any specific orthodoxy. That's Chesterton. This book just wants to get you into the hall. And so that's why, again, I'm thrilled to have Rocky here to talk about it. Well, Rocky, let's kind of start at the book one, which is the meaning, right and wrong as to clues to the meaning of the universe in general. What are some maybe takeaways you got out of this? And you already talked about the moral code a little bit. Some takeaways or some quotes you have from this that stuck out to you.
Yeah, certainly. So, first of all, the idea that there actually is such a thing as right or wrong outside of my own impulses or outside of my own opinion. See, this was very important to me because when I was growing up and getting my formal education, we saw more and more this rapid move within even our own country to make everything very relative. Now, this is a very old thought, and it even started during Lewis's time, but we see almost this rapid movement towards relativization. And so then, as a young man trying to figure out my way, it was very unsettling to say, well, what is right? What is wrong? And then Lewis says, hey, actually, you're not far off there. If you want something if you're thinking that there's actually a right and wrong above your mere opinion, you're on the right path. Mm-hmm. And so then he points to societies all around the world and he says, hey, there's actually some differences here, but ultimately cowardice is always wrong, mm-hmm. right? So what gives us that idea that something beyond our own intentions or our own impulses is actually right or actually wrong? And then he has really great ways of kind of going at that. So if a person were to say, I really don't believe in a right and wrong, you know, you what's true for you is true for you, what's true for me is true for me. Well, try stealing a seat on a bus or taking his money, and quicker than you can turn around and say, well, he'll say, like, say Jack Robinson, then he'll be asking for his wallet or his seat back, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just, he just really has a quick wit and a way of undercutting this kind of thinking that that many philosophers have gone through and think highly of themselves for saying, oh, everything is just relative, mm-hmm. and you can do what you want. And Lewis says, no, take another the man's money and see if he really thinks that.
Another thing about this book is you said the accessibility of it. It can be read by a high school student. It can be read by – it doesn't have to be a scholar. So many of these books that are trying to get into the deep moral truths, you feel like you need a PhD to read them. Mm-hmm. This is so accessible, and you're laughing. I got a couple quotes in here where I remember laughing out loud while reading it because he's just so smart,
yeah.
the way he paints these pictures.
Exactly. Well, here's a quote speaking of moral standards. So the moment you say that one set of moral ideas can be better than another, you are, in effect, measuring them both by a standard. Saying that one of them conforms to that standard more nearly than the other. But the standard that measures two things is something different from either. So what he's pointing to is that there's a difference between the thing that you mm-hmm. prefer and the thing that actually is the measurement which you say this is good or wrong. And he's saying that is the law of human nature. Yep. There is such a thing as right and wrong.
And people, he says in book one, chapter one, Lewis says, think of a country where people were admired for running away in battle, or mm-hmm. where a man felt proud of double-crossing all the people who had been kindest to him. You might as well just try to imagine a country where two and two made five. I mean, he's great. I mean, that's such a – I think those examples are very accessible and recognizes, too, the way that we can be – the way our thinking can be flawed even, you know, that he wants people in a certain way to make a decision, you know,
mm-hmm.
to follow the Lord, to make a decision about, okay, I'm in a hallway. I do need to actually get out of the hallway and go into a room.
Yeah, a couple more quotes to Rocky, what you're talking about. He says, my argument against God was that the universe seems so cruel and unjust. But how had I gotten this idea of just and unjust?
Mm-hmm.
A man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line. What was I comparing this universe with, which I called it unjust? And then another one further down, when you argue against him, you are arguing against the very power that makes you able to argue at all. It's like cutting off the branch you are sitting on.
Indeed.
And this is just right full of this stuff all the way through.
Yep. But, you know, he was relevant to his time, too. So, you know, he asked the question, what was the sense of saying the enemy were in the wrong unless right is a real thing, which the Nazis at bottom knew as well as we did and ought to have practiced.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so at the very heart of what they were walking through was this wrong imposition of power and this persecution of a people. But we can't ever say someone is persecuted if we claim to be moral relativists. All we can say is that I feel that that is wrong. But we have no way of ever, really, justice itself breaks down unless we all come to terms with the facts of the law of human nature. And then that actually points us, and maybe to our next conversation, is that, well, if there's actually a law of human nature, then who gave that?
Mm-hmm.
Or what gave that, right?
He's kind of starting at first principles here, that we have to agree on some first principles if we're going to have an honest academic, you know, mm-hmm. honest discussion about human nature. Otherwise, it all breaks down. You have to have some agreement. You have to believe that there is a sovereign God, you know, that he has a plan for our life, that he has a will, that we have a will. And so
one of the things I just got out of this, and we kind of touched on it already, is that you can tell that he was an ardent atheist because of the way he clearly was thinking through all this. He spent so much time thinking through all these things, which is why I think the book is so powerful. This wasn't someone who had already had a belief and was mm-hmm. trying to justify his belief with different mm-hmm. things. This was somebody who believed the exact opposite of what he's writing. But over the years and years of being open-minded and being thoughtful to this belief, had convinced himself otherwise, and it comes through time and time again. So again, this is just another plug I'm going to make 100 times. Mere Christianity is the book. Go out and buy it. Mere Christianity,
go to your local Catholic bookstore.
Yes, and go buy the book and read it. So as Rocky kind of segued there, he goes from this idea of a moral code, this mm-hmm. idea that there is a right and wrong that we all kind of that we all can agree upon, that there is a God, and then he goes into the God of Christianity. He says, okay, there are a lot of other religions. Oh, hold on, another funny, I don't have this one written down, but he says, people accuse Christians of being so closed-minded.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, but in my mind, a Christian versus all the other religions in the world, they all believe in a God. To that extent, the only people who are completely closed-minded are the atheists who believe that every person who believes in a God is wrong. So we're just saying our God's more right than the others. So anyway, I thought that was a great line. So now he starts working his way towards the God of Christianity. Rocky, anything that you get out of these next few chapters as he starts working towards, and he's also, another thing about Lewis, very well read in all the other religions. So he had studied all the other religions during his time of conversion. He'd studied all the other religions, so he's very well read in all those other ones as well.
Sure. Well, off the bat, you know, so he has in chapter 4, he says, what lies behind the law? Right, and so he walks us through this idea that people who take the view and think that matter and space just happen to exist and always have existed, and nobody knows why, and that the matter behaving in certain fixed ways has just happened by sort of a fluke to produce creatures like ourselves who are able to think. And then he says that this is a materialist view, and he says ultimately that this doesn't really pan out to him because material things don't produce thinking things, mm-hmm. right? And so if you are a thinking thing, if you are self-aware and sentient, and there's this idea of a moral law, and then we have the idea that there must be a moral law giver, then there must be a source beyond the material, right? And so he establishes, again, going from law and thinking to personhood, not just merely a power that exists as well.
Mm-hmm. So from there, he goes even further into, again, we're going to wrap up this first segment mm-hmm. here shortly, but he goes into making his final claim. And this is probably the most famous line of the book right before he starts going into the Christian lifestyle. He kind of puts a bow on the conversation about, all right, mm-hmm. if there is a Jesus, and we can agree that this Jesus existed, of all the claims made by all the religious gods, quote-unquote, in the world, there's only one who claimed that he was a man and he was God, and that was Jesus Christ. And so then he goes through the evidence of why we'd have to believe in that. And the probably the most famous quote from it, I'm just going to read verbatim because I think mm-hmm. it's worth for everyone to hear and hear again and again, wraps us all up before he then jumps into the Christian lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
The quote is, what I'm trying to hear to prevent anyone from saying is the really foolish thing that people often say about him, meaning mm-hmm. Jesus. I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I do not accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall on your feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come to any other patronizing nonsense about this great human teacher. He has not left that option to us. He did not intend to.
So Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. I love that he forces us to make that decision,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
forces us to make a distinction.
Do you think he dropped the mic?
I know.
At
I think,
that point?
Yeah,
that's a great one.
Well, it is. That is, if I remember correctly, that is the end of the chapter. So in theory, he did end it,
yeah.
His radio broadcast, then it just signed off. Can you imagine listening that night? Think, okay.
Well,
thanks.
That's right. That's right.
So that's going to wrap up part one of our talk with Rocky Vest on Mere Christianity. Stick around after the break. Father Zach and I will be back to recap that discussion, and then join us next week for part two.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my weakness, my sickness.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis along with Father Zach Kautsky, and you just heard part one of our two-part talk with Rocky Vest on Mere Christianity. Today being, well, it's pre-recorded, people, so it's a little late. Today we're recording.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Well, if they're looking at their liturgical calendar, they'll figure it out pretty quickly. Today is the feast day of the conversion of Paul. And I think it's apropos that we're recording a book that has converted, outside of the Bible, I think it's number two in the world ever for converting people to Christ.
That's amazing.
And it was written in 1940 as a radio talk. But again, I think it does such a good job of laying out the Christian identity and the reasons for belief that it makes sense. And there's a lot of prominent people that have come to faith. So today, on the feast day of the conversion of St. Paul, I think it's appropriate to talk about that.
Talk about conversion, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I think about Paul and the fact that, you know, in his time, he was kind of like the ISIS of that time. I mean, he was a grave enemy to Christians. He was killing Christians. And so I think just to think about in today's terms that if an ISIS member, you know, the head of ISIS was converted and became one of the greatest religious figures in history, became the leader of kind of, you know, the Christian community, how amazing that would be. And yet God is still able to and is still converting people today. You know, I sometimes put this, you know, the saints on a pedestal and I think, oh, they were born with a halo on their head. Yeah. I mean, I know your kids probably
yes,
were.
Well, we work hard, Father.
Work hard on that. Yes, but for the rest of us mere mortals, we have to, you know, every day go through conversion. And I think Paul reminds me that I'm called to conversion too. Maybe it's not going to be as dramatic as his, but it is a conversion each day to turn toward God.
Yeah, and he was so, this is again from an evangelization standpoint, he obviously was so educated in the, he could speak to everyone. He was so educated in the way of the faith. I think that's one of the calls we have is A, bold proclamation, bold speaking. So you've got to be able to go out there boldly, but he also, on the back end of that, had a reason for his bold speaking. So he was extremely well-educated. And so he's an example in evangelization to everyone of going out there and educating yourself in the ways of the faith and then boldly proclaiming it.
Yeah, and he did that for each kind of, you know, in his letters to the different communities of Christians, really beautiful the way he recognized their particular challenges and their and spoke to them in a way that they would understand. So yeah. I think powerful evangelization.
Yep. So please join us next time for our part two episode on mere Christianity. Iowa Catholic Radio is listener supported. Please consider making a tax deductible donation today at iowacatholicradio.com. And thank you again for joining us today on Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. For Father Zach Kautsky, I'm Joe Stopulis. It's time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kautsky. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.